Be turning in your Bibles to Acts chapter 21, verse 17. I'll meet you there in a minute. I want to begin by just telling you that I am thrilled to be here. I appreciate so much the opportunity to stretch my hand, to shake your hand, to see you, and to be a part of the program for this weekend. The bonds of friendship and fellowship with you have existed for so many years, as Brother Adam said at the beginning. I can remember the very first time that I came to Lexington and met with a group of brethren to just do something like we will do tonight, and speak briefly of the work of preaching the gospel in Latin America. I want to thank the elders here for their interest, for their concern. Thank the church for the fellowship, for making possible these plans that are taking place not only in countries that welcome our efforts, but those that welcome it with some reservations. My family wanted to be here like you have no idea. More and more they want to be with me, and I want to be with them. But it was not possible because of the school schedule. What I want to do tonight is to bring you up to date not only on the work that I am doing in Latin America, but I want to bring you up to date on what you are doing, because you are an active partner and participant in the work that not only I am doing, but several other gospel preachers are doing in Latin America. You are to be commended for your efforts, for your generosity. And you are to be commended also for this particular program, to see and to hear about the work of preaching the gospel among Spanish-speaking people. I want to begin our talk tonight by reading this scripture that we have before us, because it will serve as an example of what took place many years ago, where Paul and Luke came to Jerusalem. We read in verse 17, "The brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord." What an experience. What we are doing tonight, coming together to hear about what God has done through the work of gospel preachers, is biblical. It is correct. We have Bible authority for what we're doing. This is not the only instance that we have in the New Testament, but we have other instances where the apostles gathered the church together and they reported in detail the work that had taken place. It is right for this congregation to know what is going on with the men they support. Sometimes the reports that we write are not in the kind of detailed information that you would like and that we would like. It is somewhat difficult to put into writing the feelings and the results and all the growth that is taking place in Latin America. So I welcome the opportunity to talk to you and hopefully answer questions concerning preaching the gospel in Spanish. And out of just pure meanness, I guess you could say, I changed the word Spanish into Español. But I hope that this presentation will help you at least have some kind of an idea as to what is happening in the other part of the world concerning preaching the gospel in Spanish. And what I'd like to do here at the very beginning is to just give you a brief background concerning the language of Spanish. Spanish is known as one of the major Romance languages that we have in the world. And we are told that there are seven major languages that are known among the Romance languages. And we are told that this particular language of Spanish started somewhere around the 9th century. So, teenagers, you should know that Spanish did not start in Taco Bell. You know, it started way back a long time ago. And we are told that this is so. But let me also tell you that when it originated in Spain. That's a country in Europe. And that is where Spanish got its name. But you should know also that Spanish, when it started, was considered vulgar Latin. It was something what we call back home, Ralph, Tex-Mex. Tex-Mex is a combination of Spanish and Texan talk in South Texas. Vulgar Latin was the name that was given to Spanish back then. And you should know that it was not only given to Spanish, but it was also given to Italian and French and Portuguese. Other languages that belong to this particular classification known as the Romance languages back in the 9th century. 400 million native speakers in the world speak Spanish. That's a big number. But notice also that there are 500 million worldwide speakers that speak Spanish in the world. And you should also know that it is the second most natively spoken language in the world. I don't have to ask you which one is number one, because you would answer Chinese, and that would be correct. But let me also tell you that of the countries in Latin America with the most Spanish-speaking people is Mexico. Mexico has over 300 million people just in the country of Mexico. But let me tell you that our country has the second most Spanish-speaking people in the world. And right behind the U.S. is Spain. So these three countries is where you will find the most Spanish-speaking people in the world. You should also know that after English, Spanish is the second most studied language in the world. So people that know English and people that know Spanish, I mean, they can already communicate with a lot of people. They can read a lot of material, and they can communicate a lot of material because of being bilingual. But let me also add that Spanish is the official language of 21 countries in the world, and it is one of six official languages of the United Nations. That's how important Spanish is in the communication world, in business, and of course in the gospel. And that is why we are interested and concerned about the Spanish language. But let me move on now to tell you a little bit about the Bible being written in Spanish. And it is somewhat interesting when you start to investigate when the first Spanish Bible was written. And we find out that in the year 1490 is when the earliest translations from Latin into Spanish took place. It was not the whole New Testament, or it was not the whole Bible, but it was segments of the New Testament that were translated from Latin into Spanish. And it was in the year 1543 that a man by the name of Francisco de Encinas translated the first complete New Testament from Latin into Spanish. And sometime later, between 1520 and 1594, a man by the name of Casidoro de Reina translated the entire Bible from Latin into Spanish. And right after him came another man by the name of Cipriano de Valera in the year 1602, and he finished the revision of Reina's translation. By that, I want you to know that Reina Valera is the most common version used in Latin America. In English, it is the King James. This would be equal to the King James in Spanish. And again, when you talk about Reina Valera, that's the most common Bible that we have. Holy Bible in Spanish, Santa Biblia. And when you see this in at the grocery stores or the Bible bookstores or wherever you see them on the internet, this is it. This is the most popular version in Spanish that we use. And this is used throughout the Brotherhood. So now you have a pretty good idea of the importance of Spanish in teaching the gospel. Because not only is Spanish so strong of a language in the world, but we also have a very good translation in Spanish that circulates throughout the world. So what I want us to concentrate just briefly here at the very beginning is, this is nothing new. Spanish has been around for many years. And the Bible in Spanish has been around for many years. So it is important to know that we are not talking about something that all of a sudden